This is the Word of God from the Household of David Church. It is a message designed to raise men after God's own heart. Listen and be blessed.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. I will just read again before I move on a scripture. Psalm 51 verse 12. Normally I should do this after the service, but it does it after the message, but we can do that now. Psalm 51 verse 12. The Bible says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Somehow, I believe this was the joy that David had when he wrote Psalm 23. You know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There was a time that was the pattern of his life. No lack, the presence of God, provisions. He said, "Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil." That moment, he said, "You prepare a table before me." Everything looked good for David that time. But there was a time that through human error and carelessness, Satan entered the family. The old Psalm 51 is actually based on what happened after he slept with Bathsheba. And he opened the door for the enemy. Then he prayed this prayer that at one time, I had what I call the joy of salvation. That was when the shepherd guided me. That was when he leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. That was when, even though I'm in the shadow of death, valley of shadow, I fear no evil. But not at this time. So in Psalm 51, he started praying because he lost something. So he said, "Lord, I remember when you were my shepherd. I remember when I could boldly say, I shall not want." But I can't say that now. "I remember when I could say that even if I see enemies around, I put my hand in my pocket, shadow of death, they don't fear me. I don't fear them. I don't get scared of them." He said, "But now, something left me that is called the joy of salvation, and mourning started." He said, "But I know that it can be restored." Why? You are a restorer. I'm going to give us another 3 minutes. I see some people praying casually. See, what we are doing today, as the Lord is leading us, is beyond us. Father, mother could have missed opportunities also. And we hear our parents talk at times. But you see, whatever they have missed, their children will not miss. Every good thing that has eluded any family here and anybody here, again, I give you 3 minutes. Lift up your hands and pray. Maybe they've told you before that your father could have done an investment that will bless the family forever. Maybe you've even had some of those stories from the parents yourself. Your father told you when he could have done this, when he could have done that. Barata siya balati yaba, ele mandala barata sila ba kuriya da basala ba, jushali mandara ba kele mada baraka Dios, yese teke malaba saya balabaria, endele ba kadiya raba, yese teke bolobo sala baraba sele manda. This kind of prayer is a cry. Restore, Lord. Womb can be restored. Health can be restored. Missing body parts can be restored. Shalom. If you are watching me online, pray. Thank you. In Jesus' name. God is doing something this morning. Alia Kasulia Mandera Ishtolomandara Bakulia Stalia. I remember I was in school. One time I asked a lady who was a friend. I just had the privilege somehow of getting to where she called our sister's place. And I saw that they had several sitting rooms there. One, white fully. That was my first time in my life seeing a white seat. Everything is in room, white, raw, white, raw, white, set, whitey, white, everything. And I remember very well that our mom was struggling financially. So the first question I asked is that, are these ladies like your stepsister? Why is she not helping your mom? I mean, this edifice I'm looking at here, this person can give your mom 15 million without blinking an eye. And she said, yes. And she told me that this sister of mine, her own mom was the first wife. And then my father told that something happened. Then he said, my mom came in. And the girl was a young girl then. And he said, sincerely, Pastor, I tell you the truth. My mom maltreated her. That little did she know that that lady will step out one day, get married, and become a multi-billionaire. She said, you know, we ought not to be in this same UI with you. We're supposed to be. He said, but my mom saw a little girl at all. She just didn't know. If only she treated her well. The security guys were everywhere, you know, massive, a lot of things going on in the house, you know. The only time I even went to greet this person, this friend, and I happened to meet this relative of ours around, the only time, she gave me money. The woman gave me money. But she wouldn't give them. And she told me, we're all young people then. And she said, if my mom did not miss the opportunity to raise this girl well. By now, she would have told my mom to start working and just. He said, but they didn't know. But the part I want to stress is this. The Lord does not hold our mistakes against us forever. The Bible said the time of ignorance God has overlooked. So, okay, mom, she made that mistake. Does that mean that is the end of the journey for everybody? No. There is a principle in God that is called restoration. Yes. If you ask each family to talk here, there are stories of opportunities. I remember, please, sorry that I'm keeping us standing, because I will just ask you to lift up your hand just in a while, and then we go on. I remember very well. Before I got married, I was staying around Antony. And I was talking to one of the landlords where she managed to build just like a little flat at the back. Somehow she liked me. She was an elderly woman. So I used to go and play with her children. So we're talking one day. She was actually a grandma by then. Ah, she told me, say, ah, he said in life, say, shall I pray that God should always open your eyes? He said, you know, when IBB started Abuja and said they were moving to Abuja, she was working in a ministry in Lagos. He said, the ministry posted me to Abuja. He said, I used all the power I had to fight it. The head of the ministry came and said that, we will give you acres of land. We will give you house, not to live, that will become yours. We will give you official. They were begging her to go to Abuja. She said she fought it with her long leg, called people. And finally, when she used enough powerful people, they changed the decision and called her assistant to go to Abuja. That assistant today, our assistant, is a billionaire. One of the said that pioneer Abuja that was just buying land for 10K, 5K. But the next time she saw that one, she could employ her assistant. She said, watch what you fight in life. She said, when I go to Abuja and I see Abuja, I say to her, said, because that time it looked like they were taking me to a forest. He said, but I did not know. I was praying for God to lift me, and that was God's way. He said, I fought. He said, till I die, I will continue to regret not going to Abuja. He said, the few ones that went, by the time we're going to see them years later, they had become, if I may not, they resigned. They had too much money. They had even been buying land for in Abuja, because Abuja was raw then. He said, but I did not know. Again, for her, if she can hear this message to her children, God loves to restore lost opportunities. He can recreate and rebrand it another way and give it to the woman or give it to her children. It's possible. Hallelujah. You know, I just see the favor of God upon everybody this morning. Lift up your hand again. Now be specific with your prayer. Whether the ones you have missed or the ones people before you have missed, Lord, restore. I want us to pray. You have missed an opportunity to have married. Somebody genuinely loved you. After you don't have access to him anymore now, that's where you are now knowing that actually. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Somebody shout a loud amen. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Everything we do today, when we praise him, we are going to praise him as a restorer. Hallelujah. One thing we ask of you. One thing. Can you help me welcome 122 people this morning to church? Let them know you are so glad to see them. appreciate the choir this morning. Let's appreciate the choir this morning. God bless you. Glory to God. Let me say this ahead of time. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, when we ask first timers to come out, come out. I'm just saying that ahead of time. Hallelujah. Let me look at your neighbor by now, whether it's the first time or not. So people come to church as a guest, and when we are welcoming the guest, they don't want to come out. Thou shalt come out today. As somebody say that, well, you don't know me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you so glad to be in church this morning? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory, glory. What a wonderful time. Before we take our seat, let's read Psalm 126, a very popular scripture, as we start this morning. Oh, we have already started, actually. We pray because the Bible says, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. When the Lord turned again, He has done it before, He will do it again. Yeah. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like, wow. There are events that will happen to you and it will look as if you are dreaming. Yeah. You will have to ask yourself, sorry, is this real? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One of my friends in the school, he just played with the boys' brigade, the band. They were just playing the band. And they didn't know that somebody was watching them. And he invited the whole squad. He didn't even tell them. They told the principal of the school. They invited them to come and play in Washington. Somewhere a group of Boy Scouts and Boys' Brigade in Washington. Maybe the man that saw them represented them. Now, this interesting thing. The man saw them. He didn't say anything with them. Just talked to the principal. Now, when they told the principal told him, gave him a letter that his parents should come to school on Monday. The father almost started beating him. You know, African father. On the Kiwasi Square. And he kept telling the father, I didn't do anything. The father said, so, why are they? There were four of them in the school. He said, they've never asked any of your brothers to bring your... So why are they asking you to bring me? Father will look at the letter and say, But because of the way, you know, where you are, there is a way people can tell that you are... He just kept telling father, I didn't do anything. So the father said, so why are they asking me to come? He said, I don't know. But the father told him what, that if I get to school and they report any bad thing about that, I will kill you there myself. How many of you have such parents? If you dare say that, they say you should come to school, maybe slap will start even before the visit. My father would have done the same. Hallelujah. He's watching. He will pardon me. Hallelujah. God bless you. Can have your seat. Thank you. Sorry. Glory to God. So, this guy, so the father finally made it to school. And the father was wondering, the mom, what could have, are they two stood behind the father and the mother? He didn't know what the principal would say. And the principal said that, well, I didn't want to tell him, I didn't want him to be saying it to all his classmates and everything, that we got a letter and everything about this, that they are asking that if he has a passport, bring it. If he doesn't have, go and do one for him, that you have just a month to do everything. That next month, all that they are bringing, about eight of them, to taking them to America, everything paid for, and that your son will be going to the United States of America. The father hugged him. You know, he didn't want to hug the father after all the announcements. So this is it. You know, he said, when they landed in Washington, he was wondering, I didn't think of traveling out. I did not pray for it. It didn't cross my mind. But here am I in Washington, United States of America, and was looking at the whites and the people and the kind of hotel they put them. Buffet in the night. He was just wondering, this is strange. No labor, nothing for it. And they just made them to play with somebody. They play game, they play song, played everything together. They just had a nice time for about 3 weeks and came back to Nigeria. The first night over there on his bed, he was wondering, am I dreaming or this is happening? That's why the Bible says, when the Lord restored the captivity of Zion. The second scripture, and we just do the intro now and we continue second service. The second scripture is in Joel chapter 2. Let's start from 25. When the Lord restored the captivity of Zion, we are like them. Now, this is a certain promise from God. And I will restore to you. Stop there. Now, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, what you need to know about God, the first thing I want to establish, is that God is a restorer. He loves to restore. It was on that ground that David could boldly ask him that restore unto me. You can only tell a person to do what to know that he has the capacity for and is willing to. Hallelujah. If you go home today, let your mindset be on the fact that the one we serve loves to restore. Hallelujah. So he said, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and these are powerful names, and the palmerworm, my great army. In other words, put them together and call them devourers. That means it will lead me to the second point, which we will look at each one. But first of all, God is a restorer and he loves to restore. The second one is this. In life, because of how imperfect, because of human errors, because of the fallen nature of man and of the world we live in, there will always be need for restoration because opportunities will always be missed. Are you getting what I'm saying? There will be damages. There will always, somebody, no matter what, until the trumpet sounds or somebody dies and he passes to heaven where our eternal home is, as long as we are in this world, it's a world that is not perfect. Consequently, there will always be things missing. Palmerworm, cankerworm. Things will always happen. The first person I prayed for that had HIV, that HIV positive, didn't sleep with any man, nothing happened. But she told me, and I believe that nothing. She said, look, at this stage of my life, if I did something in sweat, I will tell you, I'm not ashamed of what I've done before. But I did not sleep with anybody. He said, it shocked my parents, it shocked me. There was that she was sick for a while in the hospital for some months. Did they transfer with something? I don't know. He said, one day, I just started falling sick repeatedly, and he said, I did a test, I did HIV test, and I was positive. I went to three other because I told them I cannot be. So I went to three other places. Lo and behold, it's B. I'm not saying wrong English, but forgive me. It happened that way. I'm just itemizing the point. God is a restorer. There will be need for restoration. This story I just shared now is supposed to lead me. I will go back to step one, to the third point, that restoration will not always happen the way you think it will happen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Louder amen.
Amen.
I don't like when the church is quiet. Amen.
Amen.
What's the first point? Louder. Again. What second point? What's third point? You know, honestly, I wanted to pray. I think I've said it here before. I wanted to pray to muster all the faith in me that, Lord, heal her, let her go to hospital. I just heard in me that don't pray for the HIV to go. Just pray for mercy and favor. It didn't make sense to me. Then I pray for mercy and favor. I remember that about 9 months later, I showed up in the former venue. She has moved to another country now. Showed up with a very handsome guy. I said, Pastor, this is my fiance. We are planning to... Which one is fiance? Which one is fiance? Which one is the male? Yes. Fiance. Okay, it's a French word, right? So which one is the female? The fiance. So all the women are fiancés. Okay. Anyway, she brought the guy. I said, this is the person I want to marry. Honestly, because I believe in integrity, I have to say, I just told the guy to go out for a while. And I told her that, sorry, did you tell him? She laughed. She said, I told him, not only did I do that, I told his parents. He said, when I told him, he told his parents, and both went to meet them, and they were okay. That they just said that there's a medication you take. It states your husband cannot have it, your children cannot have it. Now, they have 2 kids now. The guy and the 2 kids, negative, negative, negative. She sent the picture to me, and I sat there and said, well, it is not every problem that God removes. This must have been what Paul saw. When Paul prayed, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had an infirmity in his life. The Bible didn't tell him what it was. He said, this I besought the Lord 3 times to take it away. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made manifest in your weakness. I'm not removing the weakness, but in spite of the weakness, you will do what even people without that weakness cannot do. God operates like that at times. I get what I'm saying. The situation is there, yet I remember a lady in Trent. I think they told us a story many years ago. An unusually flat nose. And she felt that she was, in America, people even do surgery, blacks who have pointed nose. And she said, she woke up to one of the pastors there one day and said that, can you agree with me that we pray that my nose will be pointed? That this is a deformity. And all men are turning me down. And I think the pastor, it's a female pastor, well, that one just laughed, hugged down, and said, no, sister, but let's pray that the will of God will be done. Now she met a man this is true life, so on their wedding day. This same pastor was one joining there. She said, she just, towards the end of the wedding, just put the mic in the man's mouth and said, what really attracted you to her? He said, her flat nose. This is why if you are dark and you are using cream to be light, it's a grave mistake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I sing like now, I'm about to be mischievous. The next one I will say, some sisters will almost fry me. What about if you are short and you are wearing heels? And somebody from afar that God has called to marry you. In his mind, he wants a short lady. But as he looks at the condition, he doesn't look at your leg. I can't see your leg, none of you. And as he says, stand. You are taller than everybody. And the guy goes and says, no, Lord, the face is the face of Esau. But the height is the height of Jacob. And he said, Lord, I have not found my wife. Please, don't report on Facebook that a pastor said it is wrong to wear heels. There's nothing wrong with wearing heels. I'm just saying. What about wig? Let's go back to the word of God. Hallelujah. I don't want, after the service, all of us here, please tell them,
just having a nice time with our people. But nowadays, you see the spirit of anger on social media. The pastor which only said, all of you wedding ring, you are not going to find husband. Then they will help you do it in a way that your husband will not identify you. Even I don't care about people's opinion, but if you are going to quote me, if you disagree, disagree me on something serious that I've said. Not hallelujah. But you understand what I'm saying anyway. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing wrong with wig. There's nothing wrong wearing high heels. Please, you might be just want to look. There's nothing wrong. All of us shouldn't wear clothes. Self. We all comb our hair, try to look, so there's nothing wrong. But I'm just saying that. Thank you, Jesus. He is a restorer. There's only one story. My time is up, but I want to take a little bit of time on. You know, second service today will start 10:30. Because Minister Dosi is flying in. And they are flying in. So our protocol just checked now. He will be landing 11:05. And he's coming there straight from the airport. So want to delay second. So we start second service 10:30. Is that okay?
Yes,
hallelujah. Are you with me? Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. When David, I'm trying to start from the first one, to go into stories in the Bible, to talk about three people, Naomi, David, who lost a son. As we share from Genesis to Revelation, you will see the second point, that things will always happen. From the beginning, man was put in the garden. A golden opportunity given to Adam. Unfortunately, since then, if you don't know what you are looking for, on earth, what man lost is what every man is looking for. Inside you are yearning for a garden. That garden is called satisfaction. You want to live in health. You want to live in peace. You want to live in prosperity. You want to have a good relationship with God. Many of you want to hear God's voice and you never heard. Adam had everything combined together. So anytime something you are looking for, sorry, praying to God to do something in your life, it is always one or two things that Adam missed. One of the things. Without him praying, God gave him everything. But he lost everything. As a matter of fact, Adam was the only man that never really looked for a wife. God brought the woman while he was sleeping. Imagine you sleeping. Sleeping. And waking up. And when God gives you a wife, she has to be beautiful. You think it was an accident that even at age 89, the king wanted to marry Sarah. The lustful king. The Bible said everybody was talking about Sarah. And the king asked her to come to the palace. What about Isaac? Didn't the same thing happen to Isaac? That he too lied that was not his wife. Why were they all marrying beautiful ladies? It's in the covenant. Because every lady in Christ is beautiful. Let me tell you the truth. Once a woman begins to allow the presence of God to radiate in her life, she begins to look more and more attractive. Not in a seductive way, in a real attraction. You can't carry God and not really be beautiful. There will just be something about you, whether you are dark, whether you are tall, whether you are short, whether your neck is long or not long, whether your shoulder is broad or not broad. Whether you are thin or fat, the presence of God makes you beautiful. It is true. The same thing happens to a guy. Are you with me? And the presence of devil makes people ugly. Anger, bitterness, and all those things, they just start. Once you, if you are a woman and you are given to anger, you will start even losing your beauty. Every time you squeeze your face, squeeze your heart. As they are looking at you, your face is repelling everybody. Oh, you just have so much bitterness and anger. If that is happening to you, may the Lord restore you tonight or this morning. Because you shouldn't be in that state. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So from Adam, and you are going to see this trend all through. Every man looking for something. Something to be restored. This is why when Jesus was going to die also, he was arrested in the garden. Everything was lost in the garden. Everything must be restored in the garden. And that's why we have scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ. Now in Christ, we have found fulfillment. Hallelujah. It's our reward and our strength. And eventually, when we get to heaven, it will be, that's why we are not staying in heaven forever. Remember, we are coming back to the earth. There will be 1,000 years or millennial reign when Jesus Christ will put an end to all principalities and power. We are coming back to reign on earth. Many Christians don't know. We are coming back to reign on earth. We are going to be raptured for 7 years of judgment on earth. When the judgment happens and the serpent is thrown into the bottomless pit and God has ended all evil on earth, we are coming back here and the capital of the whole world will be Jerusalem. We are coming back here. Why? God did not create man to live in heaven. Man must live on earth. So the rapture is just to take you up to clear the earth and return you back. Are you hearing me? And when we come back, we are coming back to the kind of earth that God gave to Adam. God gave one man 4 rivers, and there was gold. God is excessive. One man had a zoo, and he had all animals. It will let you know, because Genesis 1 and 2 are the only 2 perfect chapters in the Bible. They are the chapters that shows God's original, because they happened before the fall of man. So if you want to know what God really, if God looks at what he really wants, go on Genesis 1 and 2. No fear, no sickness, no disease, no intimidation, no nothing. Abundance. Adam. And no serpent could bite him. The creation was at peace with him. Original plan. That's what we are coming back to. The Bible says a child shall be playing by the hole of a serpent. And the serpent will not bite the child. It will happen on my holy mountain. When we come back here, it will be the same scenario. But the world is not perfect right now. That's why restoration will happen in phases. Hallelujah. Maybe I should. Is somebody following me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's start with point one and I'll end with this. I don't need to go. Maybe I'll continue the rest. Even this one, I will just say something. What's the first thing? I want the whole church, please, and everybody watching, as the service ends, remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Never for once, please, never for once, if you are, everybody look at me, I repeat it again, never for once think that if you are in Christ, don't ever think for once that the story ends on a negative note. No. Once something happens, the Lord wants your mindset to be that, but I serve a restorer. We go back to the rest of the point. It might not come, like I said, the way, but the beginning, the foundation on which restoration is built is that every man, every woman who is a Christian, the story, don't let daddy tell you that they told me to buy acres on Tony, and Tony was able. We know we're on Tony before. The owner of the school we're using, we got a land on the lease. And the owner of the land, Baba is late now. At that time, it was about 87, 88. We're there about 4 years till it was 91, 91, 92. So I remember that when the school clocked 45 some years back, he had a secondary school, Vitrium School, in Tony there, also at Abulele Bible, where you go for visa. When you want to apply for UK visa, the whole of the back of that place, that man owned everything. He has a very massive school there, hosted there. He still has maybe over 20 acres there now, after they've taken some from him. And he told me, he said, just call me one day, he was talking to me. When the school clocked 45, he invited me to come and talk to the old boy students. And I said, sir, you want me to come and speak in a school that is older than me? He said, yes. So I came. Then he told me something. He said, when I bought, a friend was showing me or something like that, that when they finally said, okay, let's settle with this land in Toyin. He said, when I came to land, I hissed and walked away. He said, from Toyin roundabout, Okwebi, I learned Toyin, down to the end of Toyin, to Olowu, everything was a forest that time. He said, he told the guy that, what will I do? That was about 50 years ago. So what will I do with this place? He said, but I just decided that no problem. He said, look at it now. If I want to sell these acres now. So, but I'm saying to everybody, your own story could have been the opposite. That something was given to you. That now, the thing is making sense now, but you have rejected it. I'm speaking to everybody under the sun and those who are watching. It's possible that you did not even know that for the 2 years, this guy that was around you would have been the perfect husband until he went away when you frustrated him with your no. And now he's married. You are not, and you are angry. See, many people don't tell you why they're angry. A girl can just look at you and hate you. As a Christian, a guy can do the same thing. You must always walk in love and walk in forgiveness. I usually forgive people in advance. If I go to an office and somebody begins to nag, I will just give the person an excuse that maybe her husband slapped her in the morning. If a lady, if it's a man, just say maybe his bro, maybe his wife didn't give him breakfast. I will just like let it go. That I'm not, once I know I'm not your problem, you are just nagging. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. You might, because there is this limitation with human beings. Except you are held by the Spirit, you can't see tomorrow. But one of the advantages of being baptized in the Holy Ghost, Bible says when the Spirit shall come, he will show you things to come. He might not explain why. This person does not look like him now, but you are told to stay with the person. One day I sat down and I listened to the story of Pastor Nathan Ebasi and his wife. And I said, thank God that that lady saw what others couldn't see. Somebody playing trumpet in each other. It didn't look like nobody around Pastor Nathan ever knew. You know, it was not a pastor then. They wouldn't even let him lead praise worship in the church. Nobody knew that one day, all over the world, when we were at Manchester for Apostle Man's program, as we're eating the night, I was looking at Pastor Nathaniel. The frequency with which he played that day in that program. Nobody knew. Now, they were in the same church. Now, we are talking about, a lady of high class and everything. And on his birthday, 14th birthday, she said it. I mean, she you will count 10,000, she will not count the guy in. When you just see a guy in the church who just pack instruments, and that, I mean, when you see somebody, he didn't look like it then. But she saw what no man saw in him. And now today, the name is all over. So because of that limitation, that man cannot see tomorrow, mistakes. Somebody comes and he says, I don't know whether it's true or not, but somebody put it online and I read it, that Dubai came to borrow money from a particular bank in Nigeria many years ago when they were broke and they turned it down. Because human beings have that limitation. Somebody's cutting with you and he does something and hey, leave my house, leave. But you don't know that just in 12 years' time, this will be the governor who can give you an estate. But the way you have spoken, you yourself know you can't go back to him again. Here is a guy. It has happened to at least 4 guys that I know. Maybe about 2 of them in this church. It was when the lady married. The next time they saw beauty. Ah! Hey! And I like honesty. One of them came to say, sir, what happened to me? I said, you were blind. He said, because a few of his friends warned him that time. What are you looking for in a woman that is not in this woman? She loves you, she cares, she loves God. She respects you, she's brilliant. She has her own job. But you kept looking for, you have watched too many things on the internet. You are looking for Cinder. So there is a picture you have in your head. Every girl you see, you mention about that picture. They don't fit that picture. That picture is in your head. It's not in Tony. It's not in Adeniyi Jones. It's in your head. It's not even Nigeria. So you keep disqualifying. So he did that. But one gentle guy came and answered and married this lady. This guy met them a year after. For two nights, he could not sleep. He kept seeing her. Ah! He saw beauty, composure. And the girl came to greet him. Hello. There are at least married women there that can relate to what I've just said now. That somebody did acquire. Now, when the person is seeing you now, the person is wondering, what happened to me? You did not have Pastor Shola in your life to teach this message on time. That was what happened to you. Now, I'm telling everybody listening to me now, opportunities. This is happening every time. Every time. But remember, we are doing on the first point. Where is P. Josh? I like using him as an example. Don't worry, I won't say details. You know, he started, as a couple, he was staying with me. Sit down, thank you. You're a good man. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. He was staying with me as a couple. This illusion of young people, some young, I don't want to work for anybody. Are you working for people now? I don't want to work for anybody. You know, it was a Philip, it was a KBMG, now he's another player. That time, I don't want to work for anybody. I will mention the name, one of the MDs of the banks in Nigeria. The boss that I was working with as a copper took him to that one. And that was going to offer him a place in the, imagine meeting, mention three top bank CEOs in Nigeria. This guy met one as a copper. When he told me in the house, I put my hand on the head. And the man liked him, and the man said, do you want to work in our bank? And he said, no, I don't want to work. You know, see, one good thing about hunger is that it has many advantages. Part of it is that's how we check how you check your health. If all of a sudden you are not eating and you lose appetite, when people are sick, one of the first things they will lose is what? Some people. So some people, some other people, see, even if they are sick or to death, the food is irregular. So, hallelujah. But generally speaking, normal people, one of the first things they lose when they are sick is appetite. But some people are abnormal. Even if they are dying on the bed, three square. They will finish everything. And then he will sleep again. I'm not fine. Hallelujah. If you are here for the first time, what kind of pastor is this? Yes, that's the idea. Are you following me? So, praise the Lord. He said, I sat down. He wrote a book then. This Pastor Joshua wrote a book. You know, I said, Pastor John, describe it. Like, who will buy your book? You have not worked. You are writing... is it Professor Smart? He pushed the book with fasting. It didn't work. Two experiences broke him. One was hunger. The second was a relationship. Somebody was dating that time. I said, you know, I mean, just broke up with him. And this man fasted for 9 months, Monday till 5 every day. I said, oh boy, because somebody broke up with you. At least you're in my house. Don't kill yourself. But better go and eat and let life continue. Now, about restoration. Do you know the same CEO as I, you know, just as a consultant, he has taught, he was teaching in the class. And this CEO, one of the popular billionaires you know in Nigeria, this same CEO was his student. Because his office sent him to consult for them, and the CEO paid, and they attended the class. And I asked him that, when you see people like that in your class, when you are training top executive, I said, how do you? He said, you first of all call them by name. Yes. And he said, Bill Gates, answer this question. And they like it because that's what they paid you for. You know, between the two of you, you know that it can buy you. But you see, you have to do your job. And you must not show a sign of intimidation. Oh, that this is a billionaire in my class. And then you start doing. Because he paid for the training. In fact, you go for him that, hey. And you must not use Mr. Say, Bill, can you answer this question? He will smile and answer. But say, I'm going on. You're like, hey. Bill will not pay your bill. What I just shared now, that is a perfect example of restoration of lost. When the Lord got him a job, he had the first job, second job, it was on the third one he met this man. He didn't know that the job will lead him into the same man sitting down before him and receiving instruction from him. I know as a lecturer, they must arrive before you. Interesting. What have you lost? I am ending the service with the first point. The story never ends with losses. Write that down and let it stay in your heart. If it's that you have lost something, the story has not ended. Because we serve a restorer. Somebody say amen. Let this guide you. If you have lost anything, your mindset should be that this is not the end. That means there is another chapter. Because the story never ends with a Christian losing at the end. So there is another chapter. There's another chapter. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. There is another chapter. Oh, you've lost a child. There's another chapter. David prayed that the child should not die. The child died. That was not the end. The death of that child produced Solomon. Huh? What about Naomi? Two sons died in one day. But one root brought grandchildren, including David, later in Anine. Even community people came and said that now you have a daughter-in-law better than 10 sons. Shalamanda. Rakuze Bradike Ziza. In Christ Jesus, there is resurrection. So the story cannot end with death. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, though he be dead, he shall live again. John 11. The story does not end in defeat. Yes, you made a mistake, but it must not haunt you for life. There is restoration. By the time Satan is intimidating anybody here, go to God as a restorer. A woman has aborted 40 times now. They said the womb can't work again. There is a restorer. It does not end that way. The Almighty is too powerful to let the story end on the note of your mistake. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. Oh, they offered me that scholarship, I turned it down. Oh, I sent away that girl. Now I know I should have. Yeah, it won't be the same girl anymore. I sent away that guy. I blocked every opportunity. Now, 15 years after, I'm still not married. I'm angry. I should have done this. I should have done that. For a child of God, that's not the end of the story. Lift up your hand and talk to the restorer. Anytime what you have lost crosses your mind, say, Lord, it is true. I blew it. It is true. I did this. It is true. I repent for what I have done, but I know that you are a restorer. My restorer lives. It lives forever. This cannot be the end of the story. My restorer lives.
You are beautiful in all your ways.
I like that word, in all your ways. Even in my mistake, you are still beautiful. Why you are a restorer? It will never end in my mistake. It will end in restoration. I'm seeing people all over this place. Lift up your hands and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Masata laba kurianda laba ya shale banda labara. Malabara kada labara salabara ba salabara ba. Yeti alaba kada laba ya salabara ba selebara da sodobo. Zolabara da ya stele banda rakidus
Zuza bradia shala barabas sele barabas. Lete ke borobo sele baraba. Masia da barakadia sandele boroto sayaba. Lekete ke bolobo sala barabas. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the worship. We adore your name. Lagera Salaba. May the Lord reveal himself to you this week as a restorer. I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice. You will experience restoration this week. Your family will experience restoration this week. Of health, of finances, opportunities, relationships. In the name of Jesus. If you have had a very good fellowship with God before and not anymore, may that opportunity be restored again. In all your ways, it's true. In all your ways, alabayas talabara. Dakia basalaba, diaraba celebara, bakira basalaba. Oria sandalabaya, Oria mandalabaya, ea salia this. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for being a part of our broadcast. You know, we never like to end without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Coming into Christ is beyond joining a church, is beyond a religion. It is joining God's family. And that is done when you believe in Christ Jesus. So I just want to lead you right away now. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again and that you paid for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And from today, I belong to you. If you have said those words, will be late. You are born again. You are part of God's family right now. You can go ahead and rejoice about it. God bless you. We love you. Stay blessed.